Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Trophy is handed to the captain, Magdalena Eriksson. And so, for the third time in a row and the fifth time in their history, Chelsea are WSL champions!
Welcome to Upfront on Football Ramble Presents. I'm Flo Lloyd-Hughes.
I'm Chloe Morgan.
And I'm Rachel O'Sullivan.
It all came down to the final day, but blue ribbons remain on the WSL trophy. Chelsea win it with a dramatic win over Manchester United. Despite Arsenal's best efforts, we relive the final day for the two title chasers. Elsewhere, Man City clinched third place, West Ham part with Ollie Harder, and Birmingham City's relegation is confirmed. We cast our eyes over all that and more, and to well and truly call time on an epic WSL season, we're rolling out the red carpet with our own upfront end of season awards. What a final day of the WSL season. I was tweeting the morning of the final day about, you know, final days gone by. And we've had some pretty epic final days. The one in 2014 in which Liverpool won, but they were one of three teams that could have won it.
And
that
they were started the day in third.
Yeah, yeah. Mad. It had those sorts of vibes, but honestly, it was even better than I thought because I started the day absolutely certain. I think we spoke about this, Rachel, that United were just going to get blown away within 10 minutes. Mark Skinner was going to...
I didn't say that, but yeah, okay.
No, sorry. That
slander.
For the record. Let the record show. I think we thought that Mark Skinner was going to play United's traditional style and try and match Chelsea, player out from the back, potentially get in trouble like they have against Chelsea already twice this season, and Chelsea would find those opportunities, pick them off, and get a lead quite early. But boy, did that whole narrative just flip on its head.
Yeah, I think if we'd written that, I don't think we could have written that, actually. I think it was Molly Hudson who tweeted that the title shifted five times throughout the course of those 90 minutes, which is absolutely insane. And I wasn't, unfortunately, at either of those potential title deciding games. We tend to go to games that aren't on TV. So I was sat at Spurs Stadium. Sophie was in Villa Park. We were both texting each other and she was giving me the updates. I was getting them in my ear as well from the commentary, all while shooting a different match. So it did have very tense vibes the whole 90 minutes. It was incredible.
My heart hasn't recovered.
I felt really like nervous about it.
It was too much, but yeah. It was also the absolute, it's what you wanted. It's what you wanted from that day. You wanted the drama. You didn't want it to be a case of, you know, Man United being completely steamrolled by Chelsea winning the league. You wanted, oh my God, are they going to get it? Are they not going to get it? And that's exactly what it delivered. And, you know, for me, I think that's one of the most exciting things about this season is that it has come down to that final moment. And it's come down essentially, to the final 45 minutes of the season. So it was, epic. I'm still feeling it.
Yeah. And yeah. I also feel like Chelsea finished the season in very Chelsea style for this. The Chelsea brand for 2021-2022 has been this kind of thing, is working through tough moments, maybe not so much in the Champions League and the Conti Cup final, but when their backs have been against the wall in so many games, Villa, Spurs, they have bounced back, Birmingham, they have shown why they are such winners. And Rachel's favourite phrase, mentality monsters, baby.
I'm telling you. I think this is the hardest title Chelsea have ever had to win, which probably makes it the sweetest for everything that's gone on off the pitch. They've also had, you know, injuries to Magda Eriksson. Harder was out for a while. Frank Kirby was out for a while. Sam Kerr was away with the Asian Cup. All of the COVID crap throughout the season. And yeah, like you say, they didn't play their best football. You know, there were games where they played sublime football. There were halves where they played really good football. But also they kind of let it run away from them sometimes. And they're a little bit their own worst enemies at times. But I think when they have, I've said this last week, when they have something to fight for, they're at the most dangerous. And I think it was almost when Arsenal then lost those points to give Chelsea the lead in the league, which was back in January. It almost felt like they were going to go for it. That was it. Mm. And yeah, the way they won different matches, hard matches, down to 10 players, you know, last minute goals. Yeah, definitely the hardest league for them to win, and which makes it all the more impressive.
And even though last season did go down to the final day, which is hard to think about it like that because you feel like Chelsea just steamrolled last season. But Chelsea ended up winning last season by 2 points, and it technically could have been City's, but it would have needed an almighty screw up from Chelsea in the final day. So it did go to final day last season, but it just felt like such a calmer, more dominant title than it was for Chelsea this season because of those very things you mentioned, the twists, the turns, losing to Reading, losing to Arsenal on the first weekend, those tough moments. But yeah, they proved why they're winners. And when you've got a player like Sam Kerr doing absolute nonsense like that.
Ridiculousness. I think it's that, for me, I think the word of the season for Chelsea has definitely been consistency, because I think, you know, no team is perfect. You're going to have your upsets. You're going to have your disappointments. You're going to have games where, you know, you think it's going to go one way and it goes completely the other. But for Chelsea, I think it's always been how they've recovered from that. And they've recovered fantastically every single time in the face of adversity and all the things that have gone on this season. I mean, it was only a few months back that the whole club and how it was going to be for the future of the club was in jeopardy. So, you know, to come back from that and then play a game, they've gone, you know, into a situation where they've gone down. They've spent the best part of 45 minutes in the sort of the back end of the game, and then to come back and and just pull magic out of the bag in the second half. And I think a lot of that credit needs to be given to Emma Hayes, because tactically what she did at halftime was absolute gold. Like injecting that energy with England and G coming in, and you could tell that those women wanted to go out there and fight for Emma Hayes because they knew that the title was on the line. And I think that for me, that passion and the consistency and the dedication and the love they have for Emma Hayes, I think it all amalgamated into a fantastic game and an incredible win for the season.
I also think the fact that they can manage without injuries, like it's not to say that other teams haven't had similar issues around COVID, around losing players and stuff, but it's how they're able to deal with that. And I think that's the difference. And that's where other teams will learn that when they get injuries, how they kind of balance that. And I think the importance of having your bench players, if you like, and I wouldn't call them bench players because I feel like every player in that Chelsea squad knows their position and knows what to do when they're on the pitch. But it's having that consistency across your squad that when something happens, players can step in, your Guro Wrightons, your Aaron Cuthberts can step into a multitude of different positions and have outstanding games. And I think they're going to be the key areas that I think Chelsea won the league.
And also with the additions that Emma Hayes made to the squad last season, Guro Wrighton and Aaron Cuthbert kind of dropped out of that starting lineup. But because of what happened with injuries and COVID this season, they've been thrown into things, playing at wing back on a lot of occasions and doing so well. I mean, Guro Wrighton probably should have been on a lot of the shortlists and might still well be. But in terms of Football Writers Association Awards, Sam Kerr won that. And Hemp and Miedemar were in the top three, but Wrighton and Beth Mead missing out. And I'm surprised on Wrighton as well. Erin Cuthbert, you know, she has that cliche, and I'm not just saying this because she's Scottish, but that Braveheart mentality to get them back into it. She's such a warrior. She really motivates so much of that team with her energy, with her personality, and it was just so impressive. And it's funny as well, because in my head, I wanted to do a piece about Chelsea yesterday, and in my head, I was like, right, they've been defensively poor at times this season. And they've been bad at defending set pieces. The goal that they conceded, that first one against United on Sunday, was from a set piece. Looked at the stats, they actually have the best defensive record at set pieces. They've only conceded 2 set piece goals. So it's really funny how your brain just like creates
a
narrative.
It's caused panic.
Yeah.
That's where the panic comes
in. And also
in.
We think, oh, their defence hasn't been that good this season. You know, Emma Hayes playing with a back three a lot of the time. They haven't felt comfortable. I think in the Champions League, those numbers are different in terms of conceding from set pieces. And I think we have seen them panic a lot more. But you're like, actually, even with those changes, even with those tweaks that Emma Hayes made, they still have one of the best defences in the division. And leading from the back like that has probably been one of the best factors for them. They've got an unbelievable clean sheet record at home. And away, you know, spanning such a long period up until they've conceded goals recently. So it still shows that even though there's been some bumps along the road, they are still the best in England.
Yeah, and I think we also have a habit of comparing Chelsea to Chelsea.
Yeah.
So we'll look at, you know, those set pieces. And like I say, it's generally when you're watching them play some lovely football going forward, it's the set pieces and the defensive moments where you're like, whoa, like, is this mm-hmm. the moment where someone's going to score a goal? Like, I remember right at the end of that draw with Arsenal at King's Meadow, where the ball was just bouncing in and around mm-hmm. the goal line, but not actually going in. And that kind of summed up, I felt, their defence in that it was a little bit scatty, but it worked.
Yeah, they will keep stuff out.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that's the greatest thing about them is their adaptability. I mean, you know, things weren't working in the first half of that game with Man United. They changed it up the second half. They've gone 3 at the back. And for me, that's where it seemed to shore things up. And they seemed to be a lot more confident. And obviously, they didn't concede any goals in that second half. So, you know, to finish in that formation for me is sort of indicative of how Chelsea's season has gone. And, you know, rightly so.
Problem solvers on the pitch.
Yeah. And I think we will see some changes this summer. I mean, Anne Kritchenberger, I think, has had a bit of a difficult season for Chelsea. She got dropped by Emma Hayes, came into it, got sent off against Spurs. She was a little bit shaky on Sunday against United. So I think she's a bit of a weak link at the moment. And I expect Zecira Musovic to be the starter for Chelsea next season. So it'll be interesting, a kind of like sort of phased summer. They've got Spence leaving, who's a squad player, really. G obviously leaving. But they've got people signed on to long-term deals, and it's going to be interesting what they add this summer. I mean, let's look at Arsenal as well, because I talked last week about they end the season with no trophies, which is disappointing, obviously, for a lot of fans, given their dominance in English football and women's football in general over the, you know, past couple of decades. But you have to say, Jonas Odevall coming in, a new manager, changes, new players to work with, They can feel some positivity in the fact that they pushed Chelsea right to the final day, and for what, you know, 40 minutes or so,
the title was in their hands.
Yeah, and I think it's again an example of comparing Arsenal to Arsenal. Like if that was another team who had brought in a whole load of new players and a new manager, they would probably consider that quite a successful season. I think not seeing Arsenal right in the latter stages of some of the cups is, I think, has been a bit disappointing. But I think that's also to do with experience as a team. They haven't, as that group of players, had a lot of experience in those big matches. And I think it showed throughout the season, particularly in those kind of semi-finals. So in that respect, maybe a little bit disappointing. But yeah, I agree. The fact that they pushed right until the very, very end, they only lost one game, which is mad. You know, Emma Hayes said after her win, you can't lose two games in this league and win the league. That's exactly what Chelsea did. Yeah. They lost two games and they still won the league. And it's mad to think that Arsenal only lost the one. So,
and I know it's ridiculous to say what might have been, but really, if they hadn't lost that game to Birmingham,
or if they hadn't drawn with Spurs,
yeah, that's when the wheels with Manchester United off. As well.
Yeah, the wheels for me kind of got a bit shaky when they drew that game against Spurs, and that's when things started being a bit like Leah Williamson got injured then, and yeah, things got a little
Leah
bit
Valti
shocking.
Missed that game against
shaky.
Birmingham. She got injured in the warm up, yeah, and that was huge. Leah Williamson
it's
didn't play that game.
2 points in it. It's a yes, the loss or a draw. They had four draws, I think, throughout the season. Yeah. That's literally the difference of who won the league, which is mad.
I think that's, like, for me, I look back at the Arsenal season and I don't think it's been a bad season. Yeah, they've not picked up any titles or trophies this season. But at the same time, you know, when you look at the sort of points difference from last year, I think there's they've gained seven more points from what they were getting last year. Yeah, they've consolidated the squad. They found a great partnership with Miedemar and Blackstinius. You know, it is a bit of a new squad. And I think, you know, there's obviously a lot of confidence in and around the Arsenal squad about what they're going to achieve next season. I mean, Idaville's just signed on a new deal. I think there's going to be confidence and stability there that creates for the players. So for me, it's kind of they just got pipped at the final post, but at the same time, I think more's to come for them next season.
And you spoke about Chelsea's consistency. I think that's what Arsenal lacked. Like, I felt with Chelsea, no matter whether if they were down and out in the game, I always felt like they were going to come through somehow. And I never kind of had that confidence with Arsenal. And I felt like you were never 100% sure what you were going to get with Arsenal. Were they going to come out and blow someone away, or were they going to scrape it 1-0? Was it going to be a draw? And I think that's maybe what they were lacking this season.
Three in a row for Chelsea, five WSL titles in total. Do we think Arsenal can win it next season?
Yeah, I think it's going to very much depend on some of the players they bring in. I think there are still some gaps in midfield. I think they could do with another defender.
And yeah, defence, definitely.
And I think if Viv Miedema leaves, which is highly likely, I think, at this stage, how they manage that. I do think they've got really good star players in that squad. And I think it will be a loss not to have her, but I don't think it will be like a massive hole in the team. But I think recruitment is important, but not too much of a change. I think keeping that core team will be really, really important for them to try and gain that consistency. I do think they can challenge next season for sure.
I've got to agree with that. I think everything you just said is bang on. I think it is going to depend on a lot of who is brought in next season and whether that sort of partnership remains with Miedemar and Blackstinius. So obviously, I think, you know, her career is a little bit up in the air. We don't really know what she's going to be doing this season. But I think with the success of what they've built this season, I think that's going to attract a lot of international talent and talent, you know, in and around the WSL, people who want to progress in their careers. So for me, I think this is going to be a very strong recruitment season for them. So I would see an even stronger Arsenal side next season.
And you have to think that they've, even if they can't beat Chelsea to the WSL title, they've got to win something next season, like the Conti Cup, the FA Cup. I still think for both teams, the Champions League is beyond them. But domestically, Arsenal have got to pick up something next season.
I think Champions League is beyond them, but I think they both need to be going much, much further in that competition, especially the way the Champions League is now with the group stages. You're getting more experience against big teams. So I would expect them to be going beyond the quarterfinals next season. But yeah, absolutely. I think Arsenal need to be picking up trophies or at least being in finals. Like, having no finals this season, I know we had the FA Cup from last year that they were in, blown away there, but I do think that's something they need to be aiming for, absolutely.
Yeah, they need to get back to winning ways. I think it is that kind of winning mentality. Once you've picked up one trophy, I think it spurs you to go on and get another. So even if it is the sort of, and I hesitate to say this, the sort of lesser cups like the Conti Cup, maybe, I think that's probably less important potentially than the FA Cup. And the league title, obviously. But I think it's just a case of once they get those initial, even the smaller trophies behind them, that will at least get them to the end of the season thinking we've made this achievement and therefore we're going to go on and progress, because they need to get back to, you know, the glory of what we all know that they can achieve in previous years.
And I suppose as well, because of their history, because of the success of the brand, the expectation is always going to be there. But actually, Jonas Ardevel said this, Vivian Miedema said this after the game, and Beth Mead said it as well, is actually when you look at how far they've come since Joe Montemurro's last season and the growth and how far they've been able to push Chelsea again, that is massive, because in the COVID suspended season in which Chelsea pipped City on points per game and last season, Arsenal were miles off.
They've
so to close that gap like they have is still impressive, and to not lose to Chelsea in the league, a win and a draw, that is impressive.
Yeah, that's. But Arsenal used to always struggle against those, you know, your Man City's, your Chelsea's. Man United was becoming a tough game for them as well. So the fact that, yeah, they didn't lose to Chelsea, they took points off Man City, they took points off Man United, a draw and a win. That builds the confidence, right? That builds the experience, because they are the big games for them. And that's where we used to see them come out on the pitch. And Chelsea always seemed to come out on the pitch confident that they could take on Arsenal. Mm. And Arsenal has just looked a little bit...
The swagger.
Yeah.
And I think what I would just add as well, I think is the brand of Arsenal I've seen massively improve and get really positive and exciting sort of behind the scenes. I mean, you look at the kind of adverts that are about now. I mean, Leah Williamson's just done this amazing one where Tony Adams is like delivering post or something. And then there's a local business from a locksmith. And then Ian Wright is like the biggest ambassador
and
for them.
The clothes and the kit and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the Stella McCartney, the TFL collaborations. And you just think they're an exciting brand. And I think that's going to encourage more people to go and watch the games. Hopefully more games are being played at the Emirates next year. So I think even, you know, with the buzz that's created this season, I think they've done wonders on and off the pitch as a club this year.
And I think Idavel touched on that in his post-match, actually saying, you know, just it's amazing to be part of a club like this and it's so exciting what they're doing. And he was kind of alluding to what was happening off the pitch more than anything as well, because he has so much respect for how high the club rank their women's team and how they look after them, they profile them and they push them. So that's exciting. And four competitive games at the Emirates this season, having had none, that's massive.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We should shout out as well Rangers, who won their first ever SWPL title in Scotland. A 0-0 draw with second place Glasgow City, big rivals. Glasgow City have absolutely dominated Scottish football. I'm sure lots of you will know. They've got to the quarterfinals of the Champions League a few times as well. They've won 24 of their 26 games this season, Rangers, so massive. I think it was 14 in a row for Glasgow at one point. So to dethrone them, it's very Lyon Champions League, Lyon in France vibes. So, yeah, shout out Glasgow Rangers. Massive achievement. And that's really good for the Scottish women's game to have that kind of competition pushing them now. We've got to touch on what happened in the rest of the WSL as well, because there are a few games that I guess were a little bit meaningless by this point. Obviously, Birmingham had got relegated midweek after losing to Manchester City. But City got the job done. They beat Reading 4-0. It didn't really matter what happened in the United game because City won their game and that's all they need to do. And they did it in style. And, as much as I don't think Gareth Taylor is the best manager in the world, you have to give City credit on the unbelievable run they've been on, because I think, is it 12 or 13 wins?
I think it's 13
consecutive wins in all competitions from where they were. Obviously, the injury issues, that is massive.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I think it lit a fire under them as well. And I think for the players that were around during those difficult times, it's made them even better. Like Alex Greenwood for me has stood out this season. I think she really had to drag the team through right at the beginning of the season. And I think she's had an incredible season, and it's still showing as the league goes on. Yeah, they're dangerous. I feel like, you know, we've talked about clubs having difficulties with injuries. It was almost Man City had them at the right time, almost. But right as they come to towards the end of the season, they're getting all these players back now. And as teams are starting to maybe lag a little bit, Man City are coming into super, super form. And I think that's going to massively stand to them when they go into the FA Cup final on Sunday.
I think they deserved it. They definitely deserved that Champions League spot. I think, you know, given how they started off at the start of the season, everyone was thinking, you know, this is a very shaky start. I mean, we've never seen a Man City really. I think they were positioned eighth or ninth in the league at one point.
And they won, like, they lost like four in a row or something. And it was, by far their worst ever record in the WSL.
And it was bizarre. And I think for me, you know, it looks like a bit of an anomaly. What's happening here? I know they went through loads of injuries. And I think we actually called it. We said, you know, give them till January. I think they've got a lot of injuries. Wait till those players come back and then see how they are when they're firing on all cylinders. And that's exactly what they did. And, you know, to come back and make that recovery with the league being so competitive as it is, I think is incredible. So I think for me, they definitely shone through and they showed their class towards the end of the season. And that's obviously got them that final spot, which is a massive achievement for them this year.
We're going to be doing a special FA Cup final pod, but I just want to ask you guys quickly predictions. Who do you think is going to win the FA Cup final between Chelsea and Manchester City on Sunday?
I'm going to say Chelsea. I mean, they must be absolutely flying off of what's just happened to them, you know, this weekend. I think that's going to inspire them to go on and win. And I think they want to do it for Emma Hayes. There's a lot of players that are going to be leaving at the end of this season and they want to achieve that for them. So I'm saying Chelsea hands down.
I think it's going to be really close. I think Man City's momentum towards the end of this season might give them the edge. I think
momentum monsters, that's your new category.
Well, yeah. I think obviously Chelsea, you know, massive achievement to win the league, but it was a hard slog these last few weeks for them. And I, you know, they're a massive club. They know how to win finals, but I just think Man City might have the edge. And I think the way they pressed and played Chelsea in the second half of the Conte Cup final, you know, if they can do that again, Emma Hayes, master tactician, and I'm sure she'll be set up for that. But I think they would have learned a lot from playing against Chelsea that way. So I think it's going to be tight, but I'm going to give the edge to Man City.
Yeah, ooh. I don't think Emma Hayes is going to let them get done again like they got done in the Conte Cup final. I think she's too smart a coach. I think she'll learn the lessons from that and they won't let that happen again. And that's, I think it's going to be open. I think Bunny Shaw is going to start and that's what I like to hear. And I think they are going to struggle with her because it is really hard to defend against Bonnie Shaw. So I think it's going to be tight, but I think it's going to be 3-1 Chelsea. So I think City will score.
I'm saying 3-2 City. Ooh. I think with Lauren Hemp and Chloe Kelly on the wings, massive injection of speed there. I think they can really trouble Chelsea's defence. But I do think you're going to get another worldy Sam Kerr goal and probably one from someone like Pernilla Hart or
that one in December was so good. I want more of that. Have you got a score prediction though? You have to push you on that.
I'm going to say 2-1. 2-1 Chelsea. Yeah, a couple of Sam Kerr worldies, easy.
Well, we'll see what happens, won't we? Let's also touch on West Ham because about an hour after the final whistle, a couple of hours after the final whistle, West Ham announced that Ollie Harder was leaving the club to pursue other opportunities, potentially abroad, maybe NWSL. We shall see. I think it's a crying shame because I really rate him as a manager. I think he's done fantastic work at the club. Highest ever points title, highest ever finish as well, I think. And he was saying to me after the game that it was only West Ham and Spurs who'd had the biggest growth in terms of number of points collected this season. Massive loss. Paul Konchesky, who has been assistant manager, obviously a lot of people recognise his name from the men's game, former West Ham player. He is replacing him, started a 2-year deal to be manager there. Also announced that club captain Julie Flatty will be leaving. I think it was a massive shame that they announced this after the game because there wasn't really any proper send-off, which I think is really harsh for someone like Jilly, who's been there for 4 years, captained them at Wembley in an FA Cup final. Like, you feel like she deserved a proper send-off, you know?
Yeah, I do think it's a shame when players are announced leaving after a league, you know, and the fans don't get a chance to say goodbye to them. I do think it's a shame that he's leaving because it felt like he was finally starting to make his mark on the team and they'd made huge progress this season. And the timing of that announcement was really weird because we were getting to a point where I think we were starting to wind down after what had been an insanely hectic day in terms of media coverage. And we were all probably cracking open a beer or two. And suddenly these announcements came out, which was quite unusual. Now, I don't know whether they were trying to sweep it under the carpet, in which case they should have taken some lessons from Everton and announced it closer to midnight. But it was an unusual time. But yeah, I think it is a shame we're losing him.
It just seems really bizarre, though. I think, like, with the season...
I mean, you're a player, right? From your point of view, because I personally think, if I'm a manager, the WSL is the best place to be right now in terms of club brand. West Ham is a massive club. They're on the up at the moment with what David Moyes is doing with the men's team and what Ollie Harder is doing with the women's team. Fantastic facilities the women's team's moved into. I don't think it gets better than the WSL right now, and I'm not just being an arrogant English person. I truly believe that. So, as a player, Chloe, what do you think about him pursuing other opportunities, potentially, you know, maybe in the States? But I think, like, the best opportunities are right here.
I think that's the thing. It just seems such a disappointing announcement to make when you just should be in the sort of the throes of the celebration of how far you've come as a club. You know, for me, I'd be thinking, okay, well, what's really gone on here? There seems to be a little bit of, you know, someone being incentivized here by money over in the US, because to me, I'd be thinking, okay, well, we've built something incredible. The next year is going to be, you know, a step on that. Like, they were so close to getting that fifth spot, you know, with Spurs sort of, you know, they're in and amongst it. So I think I would be quite disappointed. Yeah, I think that would maybe unsettle me going into next season, thinking, okay, well, now we've got a new manager coming in. We're not too sure of his styles. He's obviously used to, you know, men's football and whatever goes on in there. So I don't know.
I know the squad themselves, you know, really like Paul Konchesky, and he's a really popular guy, but I'm not massively sure of his coaching ability, his coaching style. He seems more like a man manager, like a motivator, a positive character. But Ollie Harder was a fantastic coach, and I think he's proved that. I mean, don't want to give my end of season award picks
away.
But we got a tweet actually from Lorenzo, because this was something that Ollie Harder touched on when his side lost to Man City recently. He said that the whole league, all the clubs in the league, had a responsibility to close the gap on the big three. And Lorenzo has asked, can you realistically see any teams closing the gap to the usual suspects, he's put, aka the big three? And Ollie Harder was saying, look, it's impossible for us right now to do that, but we have a responsibility to ensure we do that with the backing investment, etc. Obviously, he said this before he left. But do you guys see that happening anytime soon? I feel like United proved that it can happen.
Yes, I think it will happen. And things aren't going to happen overnight. I think the game has grown so quickly, we often then feel like expect to see change quickly and things to improve really quickly. And that's not going to happen with teams, because it's going to take a cycle of managers, betting in players, all that kind of stuff. But I do see the gap closing. I think, as you said, Man United have shown that they pushed Man City right to the last day for that final Champions League spot. And I have to shout out Spurs, who finished fifth. They had a really, really good season. I think they overachieved. And I think if a couple of good signings for some of these clubs, for your West Hams, for your Spurs, will have them pushing for points. You know, I think when you look at Spurs, they were 10 points off fourth. But when you look at where they lost those points, you look at things like losing games to Brighton or West Ham, or, you know, 0-0 draws to, say, Reading or Villa. That's where they lost those 10 points. It wasn't at the big clubs. You know, they took points off Arsenal. They took points off Man City. They ran Chelsea close. So we are seeing that from the likes of Spurs, from the likes of Man United and West Ham as well. It's just not going to happen overnight.
I think it's that. I think when you look, I think especially with Spurs have overachieved the season. I think they could be really proud of what they've done. I mean, they've only been in the WSL now for 3 years, and to, you know, be pushing up into fifth spot, to be a real contender, I think, next season for fourth spot. I mean, there were points in the season that they were third, weren't they? They were actually in a Champions League spot.
Like two-thirds of the season they were pushing for that.
Which is just incredible for a team with that kind of history, that kind of early young history. So I do think, in a way, it does feel like, yes, there is going to be a lot of competition next season. But I think a lot of that does depend on the budget that the men's clubs are willing to throw out at the women's clubs. Because without that budget, they're not going to make the kind of signings that are going to be able to compete with the top level players now that are sort of gravitating towards Chelsea and Arsenal.
Maybe that's why Ollie Harder left. You know, he knows that he's a couple of signings away from challenging, and maybe he put the feelers out and was kind of shut down. I think we'll see that in the transfer window.
I did ask him before I knew this was happening. I said, oh, you know, you've built such good foundation here. Are you expecting to get a good bit of budget to work with? And he said, we haven't had those conversations yet. And that was it. Mm-hmm. So who knows? Got a touch on Birmingham City, because their relegation was confirmed before Sunday's final day, but they did get a big win in the Second City Derby at Villa Park on Sunday. So a nice way to sign off. Darren Carter winning Manager of the Month. He'd done a fantastic job there. He is Birmingham through and through. A lot of fans hopeful that he's going to stay and they might be able to bounce back. But it is such a shame to see. We all kind of knew it was going to happen, but they did fight very hard. And if they'd managed to get a point against Chelsea, could have been a different story. But they are relegated. You know, they were in the Champions League not long ago. They were fighting for WSL title back on that final day in 2014. So it is it's very sad to see how rapid their decline has been. Someone plays in the Championship. Do you think they're going to be able to get back up quickly?
I think my biggest concern for them is the budget that they have, because I think with the Championship now as it is, the budgets are increasing. A lot of clubs in the Championship have really big expectations of making it into the WSL. And I think for me, Birmingham have struggled behind the scenes with, you know, the lack of resources, the players being resentful. I think a lot of the big players that have potentially kept them there in the past will probably leave to go and join other WSL clubs. And I don't see them necessarily making the kind of bounce back that you'd probably expect from someone like Liverpool, you know, having that incredible bounce back that they did. But for me, I think Birmingham City, where they have been, are on a bit of a decline.
I also think it's harder to get out of the FAWC than it is to stay in the FAWSL. Does that make sense?
No, totally. It's so competitive down there, isn't it, Chloe?
Yeah, massively. I mean, there's a lot of full-time teams now in the Championship. So you're not coming down and playing full-time football against part-time squads. You're playing against actually Championship teams that have been full-time and professional setups now for 2 or 3 years. I mean, London City are in and up there. I mean, Palace are escalating themselves. You know, there's a lot of clubs now who are fighting for that one spot. So for Birmingham, they're really going to have to be on top form. And so far, I think given how their season has got and how little points they've picked up, I think they will struggle in the Championship.
And I think they're going to struggle to hold on to some of their players as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, Louise Quinn definitely put herself in the shop window to get a good WSL move this coming off-season. Bea Tricky Sarri, I've been so impressed with, spoiler alert for the awards. Like, she has been such a good addition. She was playing the Championship not long ago, only arrived in January 2021, and she has really had a good season this season. I think she'll get a good move as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of squad they have as well to start the Championship with, given they'll be up against teams who have had groups together in the Championship for a while now and have got full-time players. And yeah, it's going to be tough, isn't it?
Massively. And I think that's the issue. I think when you start to have that drain on talent as players want to go off and be more ambitious, it ends up sort of in the relegation zone looking at national level. And I think, to be honest, I think in some respects, with given how the treatment of the men's club has been with the women's club, I don't think they care that much about the women's team. I think they would probably see that as quite favourable to have less investment, because the worse the team do, the less investment they'll put in, and it becomes a bit of a downward spiral. So it's concerning.
I did read that Birmingham City are on the verge of a takeover as they move to get rid of who's currently there. So that could potentially be a positive sign for Birmingham.
It's not a great vibe at the club at the moment. On the last day of the Championship season, there was a pitch invasion as fans were protesting the ownership. It's been a really tough couple of years for the whole club. So be interesting to see, because if they could get a takeover, that would be really positive. We shall wait and see. We're going to have a little bit of fun now because it is the end of the WSL season, and we wanted to shout out some of our favourite picks. So this is going to be our first edition of the Upfront Awards. What are we calling it? The Upfront Academy Spectacular
Awards? Chloe are making weird faces.
I don't know. Do you guys have a better name?
Just the awards.
Screw you at Football Writers Association, screw PFA, whatever.
The awards.
These are the awards.
I really hope that there's some like jingly jangly music going on as we speak.
We're hoping producer Charlie's going to work his magic with a bit of that. Welcome to the first annual Upfront Awards. We're going to be picking a few different things. Firstly, we're going to kick off with our team of the season. I mean, I feel like I've already hinted at who I think, but it has to go out to West Ham. I think the growth that they've had is incredible. I loved Ollie Harder's work there. I'm so gutted he's leaving. And I was really excited for what was to come. And I hope this isn't the start of, you know, a bit of regression for them and they have to kind of hit the reset button on what they were doing. That is my pick. You know, the growth that they had, best ever finish, best ever points total. West Ham, that's me done.
I think I've probably hinted too. Obviously, Chelsea had a brilliant season, but for me, Spurs have overachieved. They are the team of the season for me. They had a pretty thin squad. They don't have a whole lot of, you know, superstars or world-class strikers yet. And they finished fifth behind the best four teams in the league. Plus, they do reportedly have quite a low budget. They were in the hunt for Champions League for like two-thirds of the season as well. And I think they took points off Arsenal, Man City, Man United, and then, you know, obviously ran Chelsea quite close. So I think for the squad that they had, they then had some pretty big injuries during the season. I've been really, really impressed with the fact that they ended up fifth. And as you said earlier, Chloe, they've only been in the WSL for 3 seasons. So for me, that's my team of the season.
Right, don't call me a glory hunter, but it's got to be Chelsea for me.
Yeah.
Oh, God, right, fine. But at the end of the day, when you look at the stats, I mean, they've won 18 games out of 21. It's their third successful title. They've dug deep this season. There have been games that have not gone their way. You know, and with Emma Hayes, yeah, she's a mentality monster. It feels weird me saying it.
I have said it 100 times. How did you stutter over that?
It feels weird me saying
it. Naturally.
It doesn't. The MM of Emma Hayes. But yeah, I just think for me, they've been so consistent and, you know, they have faced a lot of adversity. I mean, the club was literally in tatters about 2 months ago, thinking that the whole thing was just going to fall apart and no one was ever going to get a contract again. So to come back from that and remain so consistent and go down to injuries, I think they had a bare squad of about 13 or 14 players at one point in January. I think for me, really shows the depth and character, and they are just a solid WSL side who achieve over and over again every single year. And they do that because they've got a fantastic set of players and also an incredible manager. So
good shout.
Yeah, cool.
My manager of the season, I've kind of given it away. So I'm going to keep it very clear and simple. Ollie Harder, job done. I love his style of play. He's sticks to his identity, likes the way that he plays, wants his players to play a certain way, had a solid preseason with them, created the team he wants. That's it. Ollie Harder.
Rhianne Skinner for me. I think she gets the best out of the players she has. Been really impressed with what she's gotten out of those players. You can see that they really play for her. And she's done a great job of trying to keep the spine of the team. For me, she is manager of the season. Obviously, you know, shout out to Emma Hayes as well. I do think she is the best manager in the league. But for me, Rhianne Skinner has been brilliant.
I've got to say, I do share exactly your view. I think Rhianne Skinner, I think she gets slightly overlooked. She's not one of the big personalities in the WSL at this point. But I think what she's achieved with the squad that she had, I mean, pushing into fifth, their best ever result. They've ground away results against clubs that they weren't doing that, you know, a year or so ago. And, you know, from my own perspective, you know, playing with the club 2 years ago, everything's changed. They've got these new training facilities. They've brought in these new fantastic international players. You see a lot more kind of media coverage between themselves and the men and the women's team. So, and I think she's been a massive part in pushing that agenda forward. So I think Rhianne Skinner definitely up there. And I think, again, my second one has got to be Emma Hayes, because I just think she's incredible and a tactical legend. And I think that really came through in that last game of the season. I mean,
tactical legend is a great way to describe someone. Yeah.
She pulled it out the bag. She literally won them that title at halftime.
Player of the season, I've written about her last week or so. This has been her revenge tour. It's got to go Beth Mead. From the first game at the Emirates to the last game at the Emirates, it's been the Beth Mead show this season. And even though Sam Kerr put on an absolute show on the last day of the season, Beth Mead deserves a lot of credit for how well she's done this season. To not be in the top three of the Football Writers Association Awards is a disgrace.
All right, well,
okay.
Jesus, over right. to well, me. Agree, Beth Mead has been absolutely brilliant, but I think Sam Kerr pips it. Obviously, won the Golden Boot, scored 20 goals, which is incredible in itself, but it's the nature of her goals. It's when she scored them. It was her nodding the goal in to get them back into the game against Spurs and they're down to 10. It was her, you know, scoring the goal in the 92nd minute against Aston Villa. You know, those important moments, she's stepping up in the big moments now. And for me, I can't look past Sam Kerr.
I think I'm going to go for someone who's been sort of a lot of profile, but again, I don't think she's up there with what you'd necessarily classify as the greatest player of the season. But for me, I feel it's like Lauren Hemp. Mm-hmm. I think she's had a phenomenal season. I think she's been a massive part of the transition from the first part of the season into the second part of the season, and the reason they're finishing up in third now, because what she's achieved with that club, the dynamism that she brings, the deliveries, the chance creation, I think she's been absolutely key and pivotal in all parts of those moments. So for me, Lauren Hemp, congratulations.
Yeah. Congratulations, Lauren. We love you.
You can pick up your award. Yeah. Come on down.
Goal of the season. I'm going to go with Beth Mead's first goal against Chelsea at the Emirates opening weekend of the season. We weren't quite sure what Arsenal were going to be like. Chelsea were a little bit depleted, short of pre-season, a lot of players at the Olympic Games, but boy, did Arsenal come out flying. And that first goal that Beth Mead scored, not the second one that was offside, but the first one that she scored with her left foot as well, that Rachel took a fabulous picture on, which is our upfront official photo. That was just pure entertainment, and that is why I love it, and that's why it's the goal of my season. It was one of the first big ones of the season, and I feel like it needs to be remembered in upfront history.
Right, for me, I've been really greedy and I've written down a whole load of them because there's been so many good ones.
Jeez.
But
sitting on the fence,
I'm gonna
lying
pick,
in the sand.
Oh my God.
Hole in the pole.
I'm going to put my flag in the pole, okay? I'm not going to put it there. I am going to go for Caroline Weir's chip against Man United in the Manchester Derby. Carbon copy of the one she did the previous season, almost in the exact same place. And it put her team ahead and they won that derby. And I think that's ultimately what clinched them that Champions League title, got them the points over Man United. So I'm going to go for that one. But I also want to give a shout out to Katie McCabe versus Aston Villa. And Sam Kerr's second goal this weekend was absolutely audacious, ridiculous and amazing. But for me, it's Weir's wizardry.
Okay, I took the piss out of you, you sit on the fence, and now I'm
going
to
here
do
you go.
Where's your pole?
Okay, so I've got to say, Sam Kerr against Man United at the weekend was an absolute banger. I mean, she didn't even look at where the goal was or where Mary Earps was. She just had an innate sense of smelling out where that goal should be. And I thought that was incredible. But I think for me, I also want to give a massive shout out for the Championship because Molly Green's goal for Coventry at the end of the season, literally saving the club from top relegation. Yeah, I think that is absolutely bloody unreal. She should be knighted for that. I mean, it lives with me.
Molly Green MBE.
Absolutely. And
huge.
I just got to give
Sir Molly Green
one more tiny little shout out as well to National League. Kyla Rendell, the goalkeeper for Southampton.
Got that
scoring
video.
That last,
the
last 120th minute header to take them into penalties. They didn't
that
win.
That was massive.
But that was huge.
I love you. Represent.
Yeah,
represent the
all
pyramid.
Levels.
Declaration of love. Just drop it there. I love you.
Our next award goes to Surprise Package. I already touched on Beatrice Sarri, who I thought has been fantastic, and I didn't really know much of her until she set the league alight for Birmingham this season, and that game against Arsenal, she was fantastic. So want to shout out her, but also Katerina Svitkova, because she's been fantastic for West Ham. I think she is kind of the symbol of Ollie Harder's West Ham. She's aggressive at defending, but she's aggressive going forward as well. Being linked to a potential move to Chelsea as well. I think the future is bright for her, and another player I hadn't really heard much of, but I've been so impressed with her this season.
You want to learn more about Beatrice Sarri? We sat down with her last week and did a lovely interview.
Drop the plug.
She was very nice. Okay, for me, there's been a lot of players that have stood out across the league. I want to shout out Molly Bartrip. I thought she was absolutely amazing in the Spurs defence this season.
Yeah.
Gura Wrighton and Aaron Cuthbert, for me, have been phenomenal. They've dragged their team through many, many difficult games, playing very different positions all over the park, doing the hard, dogged work, the dirty work that maybe doesn't get that recognition all the time. And I think Chelsea probably wouldn't have won that league if it wasn't for those two. So for me, maybe not a huge surprise, but given they weren't getting as much game time last season, I'm going to give it to those two.
For me, I think it's got to be Deanne Rose.
Love that
bloody legend. And I think, like, from what she's done this season in sort of creating a massive profile for Reading, she's been an absolute threatening attack up top. She's torn apart, you know, really experienced defences. I mean, we've seen it happen time and time again against, you know, the likes of Chelsea and Arsenal this season, or Chelsea mainly. And I just think she's just been such an exciting player to watch. And I think Reading can be one of those sort of, you know, not the most exciting squad to watch, steady and robust, but not exciting. I think she's really injected that for them. So
great,
100%.
And finally, our moment of the season.
Easy.
I'm going to go with one that really defined the title in the end, which is Arsenal's shock defeat to Birmingham at the turn of the year. Did not see that coming. And one that put an end really to their title hopes. Obviously other drop points along the way, which we mentioned, but that was unbelievable. I just was in complete shock. And that for me is my moment of the season.
Now, I was going to go with Sam Kerr's 92nd minute goal against Aston Villa, because that was when I just felt like that's it. That's the league is Chelsea's now. But I'm actually going to go with Manchester City coming from behind twice against Birmingham to win 3-2. Maybe not one you'd immediately think of, but psychologically...
You know what? I kind of forgot about that game, so thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, psychologically, I think that was massive for Man City, and I think they turned things around from then onwards, and it made them realise we have the fight that we can be down twice and come back and still win this game. And I think that's when the ship started to turn for Man City this season. So I'm going to give that to them.
I've gone for something a little bit less sort of really momentous.
Ooh, interesting.
It was basically just Sam Kerr decking a player and getting a yellow card, to be honest.
That was iconic.
I just thought it was such an iconic moment for football. I really thought that's what we were going for.
It was a good meme as well.
Controversial events in the women's game.
I mean, I'm down.
If you look at the sort of wider picture of what that represents, you know, you're like men's invasion of women's football and Sam Kerr just being a legend and just going absolutely
It's just
not
classic
today.
Sam Kerr. She's like, she just doesn't give a shit. She's
and
like, I'm not fucking having this. Boof. Yeah. Love it.
Also,
solid.
For the whole like Disneyfication of women's football and all of that kind of some of the softly stuff.
We shouldn't do that because it's not good role model. Not good role model for little girls.
Between that moment and that picture from the Emirates from last week with like Katie McCabe squaring up to Maeve Clemmeron.
And actually, when she pulled back her arm like she was about to like start a brawl, I was like,
and you know, Kate Longhurst with her have some of that, like, I just all of that stuff.
Yeah,
great.
I love it. Bottle it up, sell it, smoke it, whatever.
Don't smoke it.
Don't smoke it.
Sorry, we talked about inspiring the next generation.
Little girls out there, don't smoke it.
Keep it PG.
That's it for today's episode of Upfront on Football Ramble Presents. We have got a special FA Cup episode, like I mentioned, coming out. But if you've got any questions for us, tweet us at Football Ramble, at Floyd Tweet, at Girls on the Ball, or at Morgie_89. Join us next week for that special episode, doing something a little bit different. We've also got loads of episodes coming up over the break and also over the Euros. So we'll see you all soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Upfront is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.